Welcome to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Over the next hour, you'll be introduced to business and local leaders impacting our community. Text your comments or questions directly to the studio at 540-371-5756. And now, the host of Town Talk, Ted Schubel.
Fredericksburg City Cemetery, our focus this morning, and I think for the very first time ever in all these years, I have two sisters on the show. I don't know that that's ever, I can't think of any situation where it would have happened. Florence Barnick and Jeanette Cadwallander in this morning to talk about the Fredericksburg City Cemetery. Good morning to both of you.
Good morning,
thank
Ted.
You. Good morning.
It's great to have you both here. The Fredericksburg City Cemetery is either people don't know the name or misspell cemetery or all kinds of things, which we've already encountered this morning. But the Fredericksburg City Cemetery, I guess it's considered on Washington Avenue, is kind of the address, and it's right next to the Confederate Cemetery.
That's right. It's been mixed up ever since the Confederate Cemetery was created, but that was two decades beyond the founding of the Fredericksburg Cemetery.
And the cemetery originally faced what we know as William Street, which was then called Plank Road.
Oh, so originally, isn't that interesting?
That was its front entrance.
Yeah.
Even though our address is Washington Avenue.
You can see the original gate that still stands above William Street. It's up on that high sidewalk. It's hard to see. There were some big oak trees that came down recently, so it's now way more visible, and it's a beautiful gate.
It is.
So the cemetery was established in 1844. In 1853, so it's not even 10 years old, the Plank Road Company cut down the bank to make it easier to get west of the city to Orange. Now, the cemetery, as all cemeteries, was done established outside of town. So this is, it was a field. It was, you know, just open land there. But they're trying to move. They know that there's going to be westward movement, so they want to make it easier. And you think about it, your vehicle is a wagon being drawn by a horse. You don't want to go down a sharp pitch. So they cut down the road to make it easier, and then all of a sudden, they couldn't access the cemetery. So we have an actual court document that shows that the Plank Road Company was required to build up the bank to secure it so that it wouldn't crumble into the road.
Yeah.
And so that the cemetery could still use the gate, which they were able to use for pedestrians, but they were not able to use for a hearse, which is also being pulled by, it's a wagon being pulled by a horse. So they started using a back entrance coming off of sort of the end of Amelia Street. And then after the Civil War, the ladies bought the adjoining land, buried Confederate soldiers, also sold lots to citizens, just like the Fredericksburg Cemetery. And then a few years later, they put up that giant gate that says Confederate Cemetery, and it's been a hot mess ever since.
It says, and that's, yeah, confusion, and that's been the entrance. Until those trees came down, though, around the original entrance there on William Street, I don't know that I had ever noticed how big and majestic that entrance is.
It's a very good example of the Gothic style of architecture, and which was flourishing. But this is one of the earliest representations and one of the few that really came to Fredericksburg that is still around. So we're hoping that we can either restore or rebuild or reimagine that entry to our cemetery.
Yeah. Right now it's secured. We had to, the trees were causing it to lean, and so we had to put up some steel infrastructure to secure it. But we are looking at you know, options on what to do. But it is nice that it can be seen now. Turns out those trees were only about 45 years old, but they were big and they did some damage in their time. So it was unfortunate. But
if you want a quick growing tree, a willow oak is a good one.
You learned that. But it does. When that went out, I just thought, never had any idea it looked like this.
That's right. Another part of the confusion between the two cemeteries is that they both contain Confederate soldiers. There were over 200 Confederate soldiers who were interred in the Fredericksburg Cemetery during the war. There was not a Confederate cemetery. Didn't exist. They died in hospitals locally or in camps nearby. And they used the cemetery, which was established as a money-making venture. And all of a sudden, here's 200 more graves that you can't sell because there's soldiers just been, they just had to put them somewhere. And so they're there. They didn't get moved to the Confederate cemetery. Not sure why. And then, of course, both sides contain citizens and family lots. People sometimes think that everything that's citizen is the city cemetery or vice versa. And also that term, the city cemetery, that's a misnomer. It's just a nickname that got picked up way early on. But sometimes people think we're municipally funded, and we're not. So the city is good to us, but they don't manage us. They don't own us. They don't give us any tax money. We don't, you know.
Well, that's why I'm glad to have this conversation today, just because I think a lot of us who've been around here, who know a little bit about it, don't know much. Some of the things we know aren't accurate.
Yeah.
But they're really, I mean, in the brochure, there's under one of the headings is a historic treasure. And you and I, Florence, walked around the cemetery the other day. It really is.
It is. There's so many stories in there. There's so many families. There's important families. But, you know, this is the thing. It is a city, and it is a community, because there are 17 mayors, former mayors of Fredericksburg, interred there. There are numerous judges, doctors, lawyers, teachers. But there are working people too. There are people who worked in the silk mills and the woolen mills, and there are tavern keepers and teamsters, which of course would be someone who drove a horse.
So really, I think the cemetery details the rich fabric of Fredericksburg's history, because we have history, we have valuable history, and it's told through the lives of the people who lived here.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. We're going to take a quick break and come back and continue this discussion. One of the things we will talk about this morning, that there are burial options in the cemetery, and there are ways that the community can get involved with just preserving and helping the cemetery along. Quick break. Florence Barnick and Jeanette Cadwallander here this morning. The Fredericksburg City Cemetery is what we are focusing on, and we will continue on News Talk 1230. WFVA.
This is Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Miss a part of the show? No problem. Just subscribe to the Town Talk podcast on your favorite podcast platform. And now, here's your host, Ted Schubel.
Jeanette Cadwallander is here. Florence Barnick is here this morning as we talk about the Fredericksburg City Cemetery. So this goes back to 1844.
Just yesterday.
Right.
Right.
But boy, that as we said, the history that is there, and just the number of mayors, when you just mentioned that, Florence, that's what, when you and I walked around the other day, just struck me. That's a lot of history in Fredericksburg.
There have been a lot of mayors in Fredericksburg. It used to be a 2-year term, so.
Yeah, that would do it.
Would make a lot of people, but yeah.
Both of your involvements with the cemetery makes so much sense, just because you have so many. Your family, generations after generations are there.
That is true.
John Hennessy used to joke that it's the repository for our DNA.
That is true.
Yeah. Our parents are there. Our grandparents aren't all there. Two of our grandparents are in Oak Hill, but our several sets of great grandparents are there. Don't even let me go into cousins. They're all over.
You know, it's funny how we inherited doing this cemetery work.
I was going to ask you about that.
Our parents had been, I'll say, the custodians of the cemetery. And there was not an active board. And they kept the records. They knew the families. And there were an odd number of burials. You know, not many. After our mother died in 2009... we became more aware of what they had been doing as custodians of the cemetery. And we took the reins from our father and said, you don't need to be doing this anymore. He was so generous that he was paying to have the grass cut and little bits of maintenance were taken care of.
Because also there was not any money coming in. He wasn't asking anyone for assistance or donations. The original setup from the cemetery was that families could either maintain their own family lots or pay the cemetery a dues, which I think was something like $1 a year. Might have been raised up to $5 or something over time, but to have it done. But you can't cut a cemetery that way. You can't say, cut this lot, don't cut that lot.
Yeah, how would that look?
Over
time, that untenable. Money had not been kept in a
and
secure.
Families dissipate. They move out. Mm-hmm. They die off. They just aren't always inheritors to take care of these things. So,
well, we very quickly just sat down and said, you know what, we can reconstitute a board, and we did. We found other local family, other people with local family connections, and we have a strong board now. We are no longer the leaders, which is a really nice thing, and it's sustainable. We see the future, and it's not us, which is great. But it just feels really good to have elevated the managerial side of the organization, and also that gives us the footprint to do things that we never dreamed we could do. Florence is like a dog with a bone, finding empty lots, finding spaces, and we are still an active cemetery. You can still, Ted, be buried in Fredericksburg City Cemetery.
And I didn't know that until the other day.
No time soon, let's hope.
Right.
Right. Thank you.
Right, right. We want that to be somebody else's job and not ours. But yeah, we have established a memorial garden, which is a space for the natural interment of ashes. It is both economical and ecological.
Let's talk about that, because yes, you pointed that out to me. And again, that was someplace that I did not know existed in the cemetery. And it's a great idea.
With more and more people choosing cremation and it becoming more acceptable, that sort of thing, it's really... It breaks my heart to see people trying to make a GoFundMe or something to raise $15,000 to bury their loved one, mm-hmm. because it doesn't cost that much. I don't know exactly what the cremation costs, but that cremation cost is sort of fixed. But once that's done, we have, for just $2,000, we will provide you with everything you need pretty much for a service. Most of the services we've had have been small, intimate affairs. And we've got a beautiful obelisk in the cemetery with a bronze plaque where your name, your birth date, your death date, go on there, and they will be there for eternity, let's hope. And then the space can be perpetually reused, because what takes up space in cemeteries are gravestones,
yeah.
and vaults and metal caskets and things that don't go back to the earth. But we're doing more of a dust-to-dust type of situation, so that this area can be perpetually reused.
And it's affordable, like you said. It's extremely affordable.
Yeah, yeah. And you can do it in advance. There's no reason to put that burden on your heirs. If you are a person who is going to die, and I will say that's all of us, then you can prepay this and make it so much easier for your family at the time of your death.
Oh, I just had to deal with this. It had all been done in advance.
It's so much help. It is.
Helpful. It's so helpful.
Yeah, it really takes a great burden off them. But in addition, like Jeanette said, we do find spaces that have been unused, abandoned by families, or forgotten by families. And we have spaces that have just sort of gotten where stones have and burials have gotten out of line. So there's gaps between burials that aren't big enough maybe for a casket, but they're big enough for a cremation. So if you aren't comfortable having your ashes going directly into the earth, you want to have an urn or box or whatever, or you want to have your own gravestone with your name, your family, something like that, we can sell you spaces. I still have some left. I don't always have them. But I meet people over there all the time to show them these little odd spaces. And then I'm continuing to work to find casket size options as well.
Like the dog looking for a bone.
Exactly.
I was an American history major, so I'm utilizing my skill, my education now.
That liberal arts education
comes through every time. That's
right?
It.
But when we did walk over, you pointed out all of these different places. So this is still an active cemetery,
and a lot of people think that it's only because somebody who has a family lot. And again, that's really what our parents were doing, was if a family member died, they would, you know, help them figure out where they were going, you know, north, south, wherever the family lot was. But they, excuse me, too early in the morning.
It does happen, Ted. Yes,
so
it
early.
Does.
Sometimes what we can do, there's a legal process to go through if we can't find the family. But if we can find the family and they've all moved elsewhere and nobody is interested in Fredericksburg, they can relinquish those lots back to us. And so that's been a really advantageous. It's helped our coffers, let's just say it. It's
we went from having a zero bank account to being in good fiscal shape, which is a wonderful thing to have accomplished.
Yeah.
And it's allowed us to do some things in the cemetery that we never dreamed we could do. We've restored many stones.
That's a great. That's such an interesting thing and such an important thing.
It is such
in
this
cemetery.
Yeah, yeah. In addition, family members, if you do have family in the cemetery, we have no limits on the number of ashes that can be put in a lot, as long as, again, the containers or the stones don't take up too much space. Mm-hmm. Because if your ancestors are there, you can come and have your ashes interred atop your ancestors. We just want you to get that together with your family, your cousins, whoever else, and make sure everybody's okay with that. But I've had a number of successes with that. And then your burial only costs you the cost of the cremation, if you buy an urn, and a fee to the cemetery and grave digging. It's pretty minimal. If you've already got family in there, we can save you a boatload of money.
And what a great thing to be able to do. To be able to still utilize the cemetery and to be there as a family.
Yeah, as a family, so exactly. Stay together. But yeah, we got lots of options on our side, but a lot of people in town do and maybe don't realize it.
Well, and that's the thing. I think there are people that would like to be buried in Fredericksburg, and this does give you an option.
It's a beautiful spot.
I mean,
let's just admit there people come in all day long just to stroll through, just to visit, just to sort of take in the quiet. It's not a big space. It's not huge and fancy like Hollywood in Richmond or Laurel Hill in Philadelphia, but it still has that peace and quiet, and that's a comforting feel, I think, to
go
into the cemetery. We've
got that tree-lined alley that extends from our original gate to the Confederate Cemetery is gorgeous, and this time of year that maple tree is going to turn and it is it's just worth everything to be there. The Bluebird Society maintains several bluebird boxes within the cemetery grounds, and they're successful. We see bluebirds.
I was just going to say, Aunt Lula and I walked around there in the summer, and I was amazed at how those boxes, the number of bluebirds there. So
yeah, there's a bluebird box that's not far from the original gate, and I love when I'm over there, whatever I might be doing. I'm in the cemetery way too often, I think, but just watching those bluebirds, they love to go up to high spots. They'll pop up to the top of that gate, then they'll flitter down and hop up to the top of an obelisk, and then they'll you go and find another little high spot, but that's just the way bluebirds are, so it's a really nice spot for them.
Well, as we walked around there the other day, Florence, it occurred to me, and thinking about it even afterwards, that there are ways, I mean, people can donate to the cemetery, and I thought when you're talking about historic preservation in Fredericksburg, this is a spot that really is a historic spot that sometimes gets overlooked.
Yeah, and again, I think part of that problem is when it says city, people think the city is maintaining it, and the city, again, is not. So we do live on donations, grants, burial fees, selling those lots. That's pretty much our four sources of income. We've gotten some really nice grants through the Community Foundation, some for stone repairs. We had the mausoleum that's in there. This beautiful mausoleum was repointed earlier this year thanks to a grant from the Mary Jane Pitts O'Neill Fund through the Community Foundation. And the Community Foundation has helped us restore a number of monuments.
You know, restoration has been such an important piece of the work we have been doing. When we first, in 2010, when we first took over the cemetery, there was a beautiful monument that had fallen down, and it was a cross, and the cross had broken.
Yeah.
And it was made from marble that a Greek family had sent back to the island of Paros to have inscribed. The inscription is Greek on one side and English on the other to the Kokonides family. Well, we were bound and determined to restore this monument. And through our efforts, we found a conservator who comes to Fredericksburg frequently now. And he restored that monument, which was fantastic, and we loved watching the work. But it also elevated conservation efforts across the board. We started, with Robert Mosco's help, we started running a workshop with the University of Mary Washington's Historic Center for Historic Preservation. And we have done that, I think, 5 times now. And not only are citizens able to take part in that through the university, students elect to be a part of the workshop. One of those students is now a grave conservator. He has his own business. His name is Tom Rieger. He travels around Virginia doing grave conservation, stone conservation. And I just feel like it's such a wonderful thing to have accomplished.
What a skill to have.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Well, and that stone, the Coconides stone, had been toppled in the 1970s, again, a vandalism situation, and it had split, it cracked. The initial estimates we had gotten were $15,000 to have that stone repaired, and I don't remember what it cost, but it wasn't quite that much, so that was very good. But that stone had been on the ground for 50 years.
Really?
Or 40 years or something at that point. And then, as you're well aware, we had a very bad vandalism situation this spring where a number of stones were toppled and broken, and it was really sad.
Yeah.
And Tom has nearly finished repairing all of those stones, so they do not have to lie on the ground for 10 years, 30, 20 years, 30 years before they're repaired.
It's
so
fantastic.
He's been able to do that. We got a tremendous outpouring of generosity from the community, and really, I think, maybe beyond the community, because that video sort of spread pretty widely. It doesn't take much to hurt a cemetery. It takes a lot to build it back up.
Yeah, good point. FredericksburgCityCemetery.org, the website. It's a great website, by the way.
Oh, thank you.
Thank you.
It has all kinds of information and how you can get involved or just the history of it.
It's got all the stuff you need
and
there.
And you can donate from the website.
Yes.
Through PayPal.
Yeah, it's a PayPal donation, but it's also, you can mail us a check. We still work that way as well. It's got our email address on there. It's got a phone number if you want to reach out. If any of this has intrigued you about things like the Memorial Garden or burial spaces, we'd be more than happy to hear from the community.
Yeah, when you walk in the Confederate Gate, if you just take a left, you'll come to the Memorial Garden, and it's fascinating. Much more to talk about. Again, FredericksburgCityCemetery.org. Also, the Facebook page is worth following, just
absolutely,
because it is updated almost daily and has really all kinds of just really interesting stories.
Again, that's our historian sister who takes care of those posts. But there's
I've had a few people help over the years, and if anybody would like to help, I could take that too. But we like to remember those people in our cemetery who were born or died 100 years ago today, whatever day this is. And some of them are born 200 years ago today. Sadly, some of them were born and died 100 years ago, because we've got a number of infants, number of infants.
You know, so many stories. There's so many stories, and they all have stories, and you're able to tell a lot of them.
Yeah, we try and find a little bit about each person or maybe their family.
Even linking to the obituaries, gives you some history of the family, of the situation from that person's death.
Mm-hmm.
In 2019, we were referencing things that happened during the last influenza pandemic.
That's what's so
in 1919.
Mm-hmm.
So we had a lot more Facebook posts that year than we usually do because of all the deaths that
had
occurred.
Unfortunately, at least for us, we didn't see that uptick during our most recent pandemic.
Right. Why? We almost expected it, and that was kind of a relief.
Right.
But also, maybe because people, again, are choosing cremation and then they keep the ashes at home. And I think that's another thing for people to think about with the Memorial Garden is, what are you going to do with grandma's ashes? They're sitting on your mantelpiece, or they're in a closet or something. I mean, I admit I've got some pet ashes at my house. I don't quite know what I'm going to do with them. But if I had a family member's ashes, there's just that, what's going to happen after I go? Who's going to want these? And people can't have a whole collection of all their ancestors' ashes. So this is a place that they can be interred now as well, even if that death occurred way back when.
Yeah. FredericksburgCityCemetery.org. Florence Barnick and Jeanette Cadwallander here this morning as we talk about the Fredericksburg City Cemetery. We will continue on. Much more to talk about on News Talk 1230 WFVA. It is 8:32.
from the Fredericksburg FreePress.com studios. This is News Talk 1230 WFVA Fredericksburg, a Centennial Broadcasting Station. This is Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. You can listen to Town Talk anytime, day or night. Just subscribe to the Town Talk podcast on your favorite podcast platform. And now, here's your host, Ted Schubel.
Great stuff this morning as we talk about the Fredericksburg City Cemetery. Jeanette Cadwallander and Florence Barnikin this morning, both involved with the cemetery. FredericksburgCityCemetery.org, the website for... great website that gives you history and also up-to-date things with the cemetery. Also, check out Fredericksburg City Cemetery on Facebook. That is a great Facebook page to follow things that are going on. And there are things going on. There are events and things that people can get involved with.
There's so much going on, Ted. Just this past Sunday, I led a tour. It was part of a tour that Historic Fredericksburg Foundation did that linked all the historic cemeteries in town. And they did it to boost the awareness of those cemeteries. Dennis Sacre, who's been the treasurer of our cemetery, the city cemetery, Dennis and I helped form the Historic Cemetery Consortium about 2 years ago. And it's under the umbrella of Historic Fredericksburg. The thought being that down the road, there are going to be fewer and fewer native residents, as Florence and I are, and Dennis. There are going to be fewer and fewer residents who can have the institutional knowledge or the interest. And we felt that having a consortium of the historic cemeteries would make it possible to centralize record keeping. This is a long-term goal. To share best practices and just to promote the wealth of information that rests with these historic cemeteries in Fredericksburg. So there was a tour on Sunday. I was the representative in the city cemetery, and there were representatives. Xavier Richardson was at Shiloh Cemetery. Kim Harmon was in the Confederate Cemetery, and Ethan Burgess was in the Masonic Cemetery. And so this tour that was led by HFFI's representative Barbara Anderson went to all the different cemeteries that I just listed, and drove by others where there is just such a great repository of history. But the consortium is new, and
what a great idea.
We don't know all the ways that it's going to be helpful, but I can guarantee it's going to be helpful.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, it was just a few years ago that I had found out about the Shiloh Cemetery.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And like you say, there are some things kind of tucked around here and there.
Right. All outside of town, Ted. Outside of town.
Right. And that's what's just so interesting about all this. What also was interesting, because when we walked around, Florence, you were telling me, like, in your parents' situation, other than just a few years with your father when he was away with the war, they really lived in life was that around just really a small area.
Fredericksburg was a small town for a long, long time. And so our parents really lived in that neighborhood all their lives. Didn't exactly know each other growing up, let's say, because there was an age difference, but still they were both in that general neighborhood. And so I find that comforting that they're both now still there. And we grew up over there doing, you know, cemetery tasks or whatnot. And speaking of tasks, we've got a task coming up on Saturday. Saturday is our annual fall cleanup. So we invite the community to come in. You don't have to have a connection to the cemetery. Just come in if you love it. We'll be raking leaves, doing some weeding, brushing off some stones. The cemetery's in some really good shape right now, but when we took it on in 2010, it was in need of some care because, again, our dad had sort of been funding it, but also that makes you cut the grass less and things grow up. And the landscape people tend to sort of think once something starts growing that you meant for it to grow there, but it's a weed. Okay. So we'll be there from 9 to noon on Saturday. Bring a rake or a broom.
Maybe some clippers to cut some ivy off the trees.
Right. And gloves if you want to work on it. And I confess to anybody, I am not a yard work person. I don't do things like flowers. My sister's the flower person, and I don't do that. I will be there talking about cemetery. So you think you heard something this morning. Watch out. I'll show you things.
You and I walked around for at least an hour looking at things, yeah. And it's so interesting. So yes, you do that.
So 9 to noon on Saturday. I think the weather's supposed to hold up, mm-hmm. So I don't have to tell you about our rain date. But follow us on Facebook if you need any other information about it. If you don't have yard things, maybe you live in an apartment and you don't have all those tools, just show up. We've got stuff.
Well, when you walk around, the thing you'll see is you'll see names that you recognize. You'll mm-hmm. you'll see the Wallace, and you can tie it to the Wallace Library. You see the name Gulrich, or you see all the names the names that are known in Fredericksburg. You pretty much will see.
There are, and then there are names that you might not recognize. Although, I did have someone call us one time, and they asked about, they were looking for their grandparent, and they gave me a name, and it just didn't sound familiar at all. And I was trying to think it through, and then I finally went, and I was like, are you calling Fredericksburg, Virginia? No, they were calling Fredericksburg, Texas.
Texas.
So, yeah, I've gotten calls for a cemetery in Fredericksburg, Canada, too. Didn't know there was one.
Well, there you go. One other thing we should spend a little bit of time talking about is the hours of the cemetery, because
that's so important.
Yeah. Yes, it
oh
is.
Oh, my goodness. You know, because we're accessed at that big gate, people don't necessarily take into consideration that there are pedestrian gates on either side of the big gate that would open to allow a vehicle mm-hmm. through. And we welcome visitors to come into the cemetery during daylight hours.
Daylight.
It is against state law to enter a cemetery after dark. And that means until dawn. But we do have cameras in the cemetery, and we know when people come in, and unfortunately, they're not necessarily there for honest purposes.
No, I was just going to say, unfortunately, things have happened, and they happen at night.
Right.
And
right.
So you have to take that seriously.
Exactly. And it doesn't mean that everybody who enters at night is going to cause damage, but also it is difficult enough to walk through the cemetery in the daytime without tripping over a stone. There are lots of little footstones, lots of little curbings. The ground does sink. It is uneven. We had a situation a few weeks ago where there were people in the cemetery, and there was actually an open grave because there was going to be an interment the next day. Now, it was a grave for ashes, so it was smaller. It was covered with a piece of plywood. But really, do you want to be the one that falls in a hole in the cemetery at night?
I was just going to say, who wants that to happen?
Right.
That's a Halloween nightmare.
Exactly. Yeah. But it's easy to trip. We don't want someone to get hurt. If you start to fall, you might lean on a grave. You might knock over the stone. These things happen, and they can be accidental, but they can still be tragic. And we don't want that happening in the Fredericksburg Cemetery.
And even though you have cameras and things are being watched and you're able to monitor as best you can, if you see something, or you see someone, or you see something maybe going on in there, contact the police and let them know, because this really is a treasure.
Right. We do contact the police most times when we get an alert on it, but it's also, we know it's not their highest priority. They have a lot going on and have to sort of triage things. And again, somebody might just be strolling in and they stroll back out. But we want those people to be doing it in the daylight hours. Also, though, we do find that people are hesitant to come in when the gates are closed. That does not mean that the cemetery is closed. If it's daylight hours, those pedestrian gates are always open. It's easy to walk in.
I was going to say, it's easy to just
lift up the little lever.
Just lift and push.
Sometimes it takes a little shoulder. They got it repainted this summer, so it's stuck a little bit for a while. But it's really, come on in and visit us.
Fresh flowers from April through October. Mm-hmm. And that's, I guess, it's just keep everything just looking good.
Yeah. Silk flowers, plastic flowers and stuff they last longer, but then they get weathered and
then
they blow
fade
around.
And
then they're in the way of the landscapers.
It's very easy. If it's very easy for wire that's in artificial flowers to tie up the landscaping equipment. Mm-hmm. So it's as much for their protection. But I think if you drive by cemeteries that don't have this type of procedure that policy that we have.
They look much different.
And, you know, there's sort of that colored litter all around. Mm-hmm. And so it's just, we're trying to keep an aesthetic that is appropriate to honor those who are interred within our grounds.
The other thing I noticed on the website was to take all the photographs you want, but don't do the
grave rubbings. Yeah, grave rubbings were a big popular thing. I think, I don't know, probably have been over many, many periods of time, but I know when I was young, that was a thing to do grave rubbings, or people will mark a grave with chalk in order to read it better. All of those things can damage the stone incredibly. In terms also cleaning stones, please don't clean any of the gravestones unless you have our permission. If it's your family, then you certainly have more opportunities there, but we want to work with you. We don't want chemicals on the stones. There are things that people use that are less harmful than others, but we really...
Water and a soft brush is what we recommend.
Yeah, we do follow a do no harm kind of practice.
Yeah.
And we've learned that from our association with the stone conservators that we've worked with.
Yeah. Yeah, any time you're touching a gravestone, you're running, there's an opportunity for damage. So we want to minimize that as much as we can. And again, they get loose. They can just wobble.
It's quite common for these stones that are set with a metal pin to topple as the metal will corrode and lose its integrity. So,
yeah.
Now, and some of them are really heavy, and
they can, I'm going to try and let you know when our conservator, Tom, is raising that one big stone that was toppled.
I would like to see
during
that.
He's calculated it's probably a half ton for this one piece of stone, and he's got to raise it back up. But, you know, really, the Egyptians built the pyramids, so it can be done.
It can be done.
It's fascinating work to see what they can do.
It was interesting when we walked around and he was working, but just to look at the various projects he's got.
But sadly, and you can Google terms and find this and stuff, there are times when people are felled by a falling gravestone. And if it falls on you, it can hurt you, it can kill you. Kids, I mean, I'm pretty sure we played in that cemetery, ran around, because we were just neighborhood kids, and there are neighborhood kids now. I'm trying to identify them to see so I can tell their parents this is not a safe place to play. And if you take your kids in for a walk, we love for kids to be in the cemetery. We love for them to know that it's not spooky. It's not haunted, that sort of thing. Enjoy your time there, but use safe practices.
Right. Now, in the Fredericksburg City Cemetery truly is. I mean, it is really, as I have looked at it and studied it and even just walked around, I mean, it really is a treasure that we have in this area. And thanks to you all and others who have really preserved it and have it really looking good right now.
Yeah, it looks good, and I've been fortunate to be there. Sometimes when people come in and visit, I always speak to them. I had one fellow who gives cemetery tours. He is a Civil War buff, and so, of course, that brings a lot of people to our cemetery and others, and he couldn't say enough about how good the cemetery looks. So that felt really good to me because it's kind of the only cemetery I hang out in. But he's been in a lot and gave us a lot of kudos for how well it's being maintained.
And if you're looking to get involved in the community or get to meet people or and just help things out, come Saturday.
Right.
That's
Saturday.
A great
9
time.
To noon.
Great time to meet several of the board members and to find a way that you can be connected to. Mm-hmm.
As well as donations. If you can't come Saturday, we do take monetary donations. It's not done. We can't do it on the fly, on the free. So we are a nonprofit organization. We are not a 501c3 organization, and that causes us a little bit of trouble because you won't find us on lists of things like organizations that you can donate to. 501c13, I admit I thought it was a typo when I first saw it.
I would think that.
But it is a specific section of the tax code that is for historic cemeteries.
So donations are deductible.
But okay.
Yes, it's a 501c13.
Yeah. So it won't make any difference as you write your check or make your payment through PayPal. But just to know, you won't find it on a list sometimes of nonprofit organizations in town because those lists are pulled from 501c3.
FredericksburgCityCemetery.org, the website. Also check out Facebook. We'll take one final break and conclude here this morning with Florence Barnick and Jeanette Cadwallander in the Fredericksburg City Cemetery on News Talk 1230 WFVA.
This is Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. You can access all episodes of Town Talk online at newstalk1230.net or on your favorite podcast platform. And now, here's your host, Ted Schubel.
Great stuff this morning. Fredericksburg City Cemetery, Jeanette Cadwallander and Florence Barnick here this morning. FredericksburgCityCemetery.org. I have learned so much about the cemetery. And that's the thing. You can live around here and just assume a lot of things. And the city cemetery is not the Confederate cemetery, and there are ways to get in. You can get involved. You can help clean up on Saturday. But before we get out of here, Jeanette, we were talking about the memorial garden. Some of the churches have also gotten involved.
They have, Ted. When the cemetery was established, there were four plots allocated for the four churches, which at that time were the Episcopal Church, the Methodist Church, Presbyterian, and Baptist. And two of those, the Presbyterian and the Baptist Church, have each built memorials with bronze plaques for their members, so that members of those churches have a burial option. When the cemetery was established and those four plots were set aside, it was primarily for the ministers, or perhaps longstanding church members who did not have family resources to have their own family burials. But it's nice to see that those two churches that have remained have found ways to rejuvenate their plots. Mm-hmm. And I know St. George's graveyard is the oldest cemetery in town, and they are having a new columbarium installed in the renovation work that they're doing. So their needs are different.
Right.
But that's some of the things that we were able to do when we started working on this in 2010, was looking at this and reminding these churches that they have these lots, that this is available to them. We have not gotten the connection exactly with the Methodist Church. I haven't really ever talked with them, but we've sent letters and done things over the years to say, this is something that you own.
The Methodists have their own columbarium.
They have a columbarium at their church, but also, you know, they have options. The Baptist Church did for their memorial garden what we did on ours, and that was to include the names of some people who were unmarked, who had been buried in that area.
Yeah.
And they didn't have gravestones. So now those people are acknowledged on that as well. I would point out too, Ted, that if people are looking for burials in the Fredericksburg Cemetery, you know, some looking for their grandparents or something, we use findagrave.com as our public-facing register, so to speak. So that does have a list of all of the known burials that we have in
That's
the cemetery.
That's a huge resource for anybody who is a tapophile, as we are.
Is that? Yes.
Yeah.
So what is that again? What's the?
It's findagrave.com.
Okay.
And it's an international organization.
Yeah.
But if you go to that, search for our cemetery. It includes a list of all of the known burials that we have. It does include names of people that we don't have in our register as well. Our original burial register was lost in a fire in 1919 and rebuilt. But because of that, there are unmarked and unknown burials. And also because of that confusion with the city cemetery and the Confederate cemetery, obituaries will list it wrong. Death certificates will list it wrong. The funeral homes will list it wrong. So sometimes people will think somebody's buried in one, they're really buried in the other. If they have a gravestone, that's great. We can find them. If they're not marked, we don't always know where they are.
The big takeaway this morning is there are options. If you're interested in the Fredericksburg City Cemetery, get in touch, whether it's the Memorial Garden or even a plot. There may be something for you. FredericksburgCityCemetery.org. Florence Barnick and Jeanette Cadwallander, this was fascinating. We'll do it again.
Thank you so much, Ted. Yeah. It's been a pleasure to be here.
Thank you for what you two do. A lot of times you don't get a chance to thank people who save things, and you certainly have.
Well,
thank you
for having us.
That is it. Thank you for listening. We'll see you in the morning.
Thanks for listening to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. The views expressed by the host and guests on this program are their own and not necessarily those of this station, its management, or Centennial Broadcasting. Hear the show anytime by subscribing to the Town Talk podcast on your favorite podcast platform. The Glenn Beck Program is next on News Talk 1230 WFVA.